Okay, now we've gotten to volume one, number five, November 1968 of the McLuhan Dew Line. This is called Through the Vanishing Point, subtitled Reversal Through Speed Up. Now, Through the Vanishing Point is a book that McLuhan put out earlier that year, earlier in 1968, just as issue number three was based on War and Peace in the Global Village, which was put out in August 68. I think Through the Vanishing Point came out earlier. What was the fourth one called? Oh, yeah, Future Graham. Okay, this one is 15 pages, so that's cool, with a bunch of side probes like the previous one. Did the previous one have side probes, or was that number three? Did number four have side probes?
It had a few.
Yeah, wait a minute now. The number four, Futurgram, yes, Futurgram did have side probes, didn't it?
Yes.
No, it didn't. Yes, it did. You're right. So, did number three have side probes? The War and Peace in Global Village? War and Peace in the Global Village? I don't think that had sidebars.
I don't remember that one. I know the second one did in the first one, but I don't remember the third.
Yeah, the third is just had a lot of text, no sidebars. So here goes. Page one. When Oswald Spengler published his gloomy Decline of the West in 1918, he noted with despair the encroachment of, quote, irrational numbers, unquote, on the previously, quote, rational, unquote, Western mathematics. In fact, however, this was only one of the numerous and decisive innovations that had inherently the power to transform the rational, in quotes, Western world into an irrational, in quotes, Oriental one. As only one example, 1844 was the year of the first commercial telegraph. It was also the year that Soren Kierkegaard published his book called Concept of Dread. Then in bigger letters, it says, any speed up of information or of hardware alters the intervals of time and space between people and events. And this larger typeface is inserted in the middle of the column. So it's a subspace. Much the way that James Joyce wrote Finnegan's Wake, with different parts of the pages having different clumps of themes. Opposite the big print is normal print, and another little square block, and it says, it is this world of the interval and not the world of the connection in quotes, that is decisive in all matters of change. What is the underlying dynamic that is underlined? What is the underlying dynamic? Maybe that's a joke. What is the underlying dynamic, underlined, between these technological advances and the terror they inspire in the greatest minds of their times? This dynamic is this. For 25 centuries, the Western world had controlled the interval by the convention of the alphabetic or pictorial bond. The 19th century had considered the chemical bond as a connection and represented it by, quote, a line drawn between the symbols of two chemical elements, unquote. But in 1939, Linus Pauling opened his classic titled The Nature of the Chemical Bond with the heading, quote, resonance and the chemical bond, unquote. Thus, quantum mechanics ended the lineal bond and, quote, introduced into chemical theory a new concept, that of resonance, resonance in subquotes and in the whole sentence in quotes. Now, let's see. I will just check Roxanne and Bert. Would you like me to reread all that I've done? Am I going too fast?
Yeah, can you reread that? Because that was something big, I sense, when you talked about the word, you read the word of the interval. And the West controlled the alphabet, and then you started the chemical bond, yes.
Yeah, I will say it without the quote marks. You know, I'm just going to say it. All right, here goes. When Oswald Spengler published his gloomy Decline of the West in 1918, he noted with despair the encroachment of irrational numbers on the previously rational Western mathematics. In fact, however, this was only one of the numerous and decisive innovations that had inherently the power to transform the rational Western world into an irrational Oriental one. As only one example, 1844 was the year of the first commercial telegraph. It was also the year that Soren Kierkegaard published his Concept of Dread, title of his book, Concept of Dread. Separate section. Any speed up of information or of hardware alters the intervals of time and space between people and events. Another section. It is this world of the interval and not the world of the connection that is decisive in all matters of change. What is the underlying dynamic between these technological advances and the terror they inspire in the greatest minds of their time? It is this. For 25 centuries, the Western world had controlled the interval by the convention of the alphabetic or pictorial bond. The 19th century had considered the chemical bond as a connection and represented it by, quote, a line drawn between the symbols of two chemical elements, unquote. But in 1939, Linus Pauling opened his classic called The Nature of the Chemical Bond with the heading Resonance and the Chemical Bond. Thus, quantum mechanics ended the lineal bond and, quote, introduced into chemical theory a new concept, that of resonance, unquote. Okay, page 3. This basic shift from connection to interval, from the continuum of visual space to the interval of acoustic space, is a takeover that has affected every form of human organization, inner and outer, individual and corporate. After 2,500 years of alphabetic and typographic culture, it is not easy for us to adjust suddenly to the non-visual inner space of the interval and to the ferment of the interface, interface in quotes. To make the transition from the outer trip of the visually oriented man to the inner trip of the audible tactile world is to shift from west to east. An outer trip and inner trip were in quotes. Now backward, in quotes. Backward and non-literate cultures and individuals take readily to non-visual or electric technology, which is the world of the new quantum mechanics or of the resonating chemical bond. Then it says, see Side Probe 1, page 11. Side Probe 1. Here's Side Probe 1. The Civil War of the Senses, and it quotes Finnegan's Wake, page 52, line 18, television kills telephony in Brothers Broil. And it actually has Finnegan's Wake spelt wrong. So whoever typed this up didn't know that there's no apostrophe S at the end of Finnegan's. You never see that mistake in McLuhan land, but here it is in this journal. Okay, in this newsletter. Then McLuhan writes, no greater cultural difference is conceivable than that between a society built upon the dominant values of the eye and one in which the values of ear and touch have ascendancy and dominate over the eye. Eric Havelock's book, Preface to Plato, published by Oxford University Press in 1963, is an account of the tribal culture of Homer that preceded the visual, newly alphabetized and detribalized world of Plato. It is a story of the shift from the world of the bard and the counter-mosaic in quotes, to the world of Euclid and intellectual detachment. For only the eye among all of our senses permits detachment and the individual or private values of civilization and points of view. Now, Oksana and Bert, would you like me to read that again?
No.
I'll let Roth vote this time.
No.
That's good.
Okay, it's pretty straightforward.
Can we already comment or not?
You can comment, yeah.
Why would he call a civil war of the senses?
You're too much echo. I couldn't get what you said.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand what he means when
he
said...
No, just say, why would he call? You said, why would he call? Just finish.
Yeah, the civil war of the senses.
Because they are extended into environments, and the environments create whole institutions that people are get employment in. So when a new environment comes in, a new extension of one of the senses, it threatens the older institutions which have been externalized of a particular sensory bias.
Like
said a very interesting...
What you were saying, for example, in the case of TV, there was near broadcast and broadcast, and there's a lot of people working on doing that. On the
yeah. When TV came in the late 50s for most people, the radio world felt insecure. And it was at a convention of radio broadcasters, I think in Vancouver in 1957, where McLuhan assured that the radio, yes, it's obsolesced by TV, but obsolescence means more and more radio. And there will be more and more different uses of radio rather than being the main centralized fountain of propaganda it was in the radio era, you know, 20s, 30s, and 40s. So he showed them that radio will be retrieved and used for all kinds of other things. And, of course, that became teen music and weather reports and talk shows and all kinds of things radio went into. And he said that's where he first said the phrase, the medium is the message, at that radio broadcasters conference where he was reassuring them not to panic. So another interesting statement McLuhan said was, there is civil war among all the modern media except for visual space. The visual space media sit on the sidelines while civil war is being acted out by the different electric media. What is the visual space? That's the banking institutions. So that's where people start thinking there was a conspiracy going on, the Trilateral Commission, the communists, somebody on the sidelines manipulating the civil war. No, a way to look at it is that the Civil War were the people involved, and everybody had jobs in these institutions and was loyal to their, what I call, particular mythic stage or particular media they enjoyed or were employed by, while the bankers sat on the sideline, not controlling, but left out of the action. All they could do was register the profits and the debts, which then were distributed through the pension funds to the corporations that were in Civil War. We said last week, recently, one of the editions here, last week, the week before, that the corporation, we were talking about synergizing. We just read the quote. Many unlike entities end up in the new corporate board because there's so much implosion of so many different media that they end up being mixed and working with other media that they normally wouldn't relate to. And that's how the mafia is brought in to corporations. That's how royalty was brought back in. All these excluded classes, when the middle class ruled in the first half of the 20th century, where the middle class was kind of obsolete as you moved into the second half of the 20th century by the inclusion of aristocratic elements and mafia elements, the high and the low. So it's a different way to look at how things happen without panicking. Just watch where you make your accusations. You might be rewarded. You said not to read that again. But I feel like reading it again. Just a second. It's not very long. Okay. Let me mute you guys. I'll just do it fast. This basic shift from connection to interval, from the continuum of visual space to the interval acoustic space, is a takeover that has affected every form of human organization, inner and outer, individual and corporate. After 2,500 years of alphabetic and typographic culture, it is not easy for us to adjust suddenly to the non-visual inner space of the interval and to the ferment of the interface. The ferment of the interface is all these different electric environments and institutions being forced to relate more and more intimately with each other. That's the ferment of the interface. To make the transition from the outer trip of the visually oriented man to the inner trip of the adult tactile world is to shift from west to east, backward in non-literate cultures, and that would include mafias. Backward in non-literate cultures and individuals take readily to non-visual or electric technology, which is the world of the new quantum mechanics or of the resonating chemical bond. So he's relating this new shift to the non-visual to the world of physics and chemistry, but he would in other books bring it into politics and sociology and the rise of organized crime, the non-literate culture, the oral culture of the mafia, using the telephone and other electric media to bypass the literate legal establishment. And side one, or rather probe number one, said the civil war of the senses. Television kills telephony in Brothers Broil. That's Finnegan's Wake, page 52, line 18. Then McLuhan says, no greater cultural difference is conceivable than that between a society built upon the dominant values of the eye and one in which the values of ear and touch have ascendancy and dominate over the eye. So a great difference here in the 20th century. Eric Havelock's preface to Plato, Oxford University Press, 1963, is an account of the tribal culture of Homer that preceded the visual, newly alphabetized and detribalized world of Plato. It is the story of the shift from the world of the bard and counter-mosaic to the world of Euclid and intellectual detachment. For only the eye among all of our senses permits detachment and the individual or private values of civilization and points of view. That's another aspect of the visual space of the bankers. They're sidelined, but they have the visual bias of detachment. And they can do their business all around the world without any local loyalties, at least on a secret level. They do have to have national central banks. And they look like they're loyal there. But it gets all conflicted and mixed up, and we have now Janet Yellen on RNA drops trying to recover a balance. Okay, page 3, we just did. Page 4. In a later newsletter, we can look at the new consortium and the new conglomerates of our business world as the end of private goals or visual goals in business, end of private goals in business, in favor of a chemical bond or resonance. The first book by the Evergreens was called Resonance in the 70s. We know that Ion in the early years talked a lot about resonance. So in a separate section, it says, the conglomerate, this is bigger letters, bigger text, the conglomerate is the achieved image of the retribalization of the business world. So that would include mafia and military and aristocrats. And then another separate statement, normal size print, a conglomerate has no goal. He says in Take Today that the businesses with their individual goals were homogeneous private enterprises in quotes. The new conglomerates are extremely diverse and surprising in their discontinuities and their gaps or intervals. Management is undergoing the same revolution today as the world of mechanical hardware technology underwent yesterday, when it was invaded by electric information and software configurations. So it says, go to side probe number 2, page 12. Side probe number 2, on the retribalization of our young. So this is capitalized, big letters. On the retribalization of our young. And now, it's the summer of 68, the film The Graduate, famous film, came out that summer. At a recent showing, the film The Graduate was preceded with serendipitous appropriateness by a trailer ad for a movie called Oedipus the King. The Graduate is Oedipus in reverse. Oedipus was tribal man's struggle to disengage himself from the incestuous kinship bonds of any tribal society. Ben, the Oedipus of The Graduate, is propelled in the opposite direction. His struggle, or tragic agon, or agony, that's A-G-O-N in quotes, his struggle, or tragic agon, involves him in remaking the tribal image for himself, just as Oedipus was involved in the struggle of making a private or individual image. Ben is seduced by his own mother, mother in quotes, that's Mrs. Robinson, queen of the jet set of consumer values, that's in brackets, and violently elopes with his own sister, in quotes, sister Elaine, who is Mrs. Robinson's daughter. Mrs. Robinson has enough civilization left in her private makeup to fear this elopement as a final betrayal of all her values. Ben's father and Robinson Sr. are business partners underlying the kinship bonds of the society. And so that's a very interesting analysis of The Graduate. Oedipus in reverse. Let's see. Anything else to say about that? All right. So we go to back to, that was side probe number 2. We go to page 5. The theme of this letter is contained in, quote, Through the Vanishing Point, Space and Poetry and Painting by Marshall McLuhan and Harley Parker, World Perspective Series, Harper and Row, 1968. That's in brackets. The vanishing point is a perspective made possible by a fixed view on a fixed target. In bigger letters, today nobody can occupy a fixed position or find a fixed or stationary target. In smaller normal letters, electric technology excludes both possibilities. Most people can still remember the time when fixed positions and fixed targets were taken for granted. Now there's a colon, and then it says, the establishment, capital E, the establishment is still a 19th century affair, entirely related to such assumptions. Our social, political, and educational arrangements still assume goals and objectives as normal possibilities and aspirations. In fact, however, a young doctor is as obsolete on the day he graduates as is any engineer. Both have spent years acquiring long packaged information data while living in a total field world of information mosaics that are moving at high speed. A total field is an area of multiple conglomerates and intervals whose interfaces create a vast ferment of rapidly changing patterns. Then it says, see side probe number 3, page 13. Side probe 13, big letters, science fiction as rearview mirror. So it says, the inability of those involved in any involuntary or unexpected change to become aware of the causes of the change is an abiding human limitation. That's where Bruce Lipton is unaware of the causes pressuring him to change his concepts from the Newtonian to the quantum. That's a sidebar that's not mentioned in this newsletter. So I'll read that again. The inability of those involved in any involuntary or unexpected change to become aware of the causes of the change is an abiding human limitation. The Renaissance philosopher Guy Battista Vico regarded this inability as so pervasive that he dubbed it a, quote, universal principle, unquote, uniting all humanity. That's like Zappa's idea. The most plentiful element is not hydrogen in the universe, it's stupidity. A movie like 2001, which came out that year, 1968, belongs to 1901, or even to the world of Jules Verne. It is filled with 19th century hardware and Newtonian imagery. It has few, if any, 20th century qualities. This is natural. The public is not capable of being entertained by awareness of its own condition. Fish do not care to think about water, or men about air pollution. The New Yorker cartoonist was right when, in portraying two fish on the sand, to have one observed, quote, this is where the action is, unquote. So you get these fish, you know, killing themselves, jumping out of the water because something has propelled them into thinking that's where the action is. A marvelous parallel is the teacher's query, quote, what does the 20th century owe to Thomas Edison, unquote. And the student's reply, quote, without Edison, we would all be watching TV by candlelight. So those are supposed to be jokes. Okay, that's page 5. Page 6. The psychic and social influences of the Orient will take over the West much more rapidly than we have intruded. Do that again. The psychic and social influences of the Orient will take over the West much more rapidly than we have intruded upon them. And it has an asterisk at the bottom. It says, as indicated in the October 1968 issue of the McLuhan-Dewline, at the present time, the educational budget of the United States for westernizing the Orient, we refer to it as the Vietnam War, far exceeds anything we would consider reasonable to spend on our own backward members of society. And that is, he's saying, indicating the October 1968 issue, that is what we're doing right now. We're in the November issue. Okay, so the previous issue. So that was the first sentence. The psychic and social, the psychic and social influences of the Orient will take over the West much more rapidly than we have intruded upon them. And this is a summer when Maharishi and the Beatles are celebrating the meditation fad, transcendental meditation. That's the icon of the Orient taking over the West, at least among the youth. And that started in 67 and went through 68. Then he says, our TV generation has gone inner and oriental already. In our 19th century hearts, we say, quote, we are holding back the rising tide of communism in the world, unquote. Unquote. In fact, our electric service environment is already a tribal communist form. That's spelled C-O-M-M-U-N-E-I-S-T, communist. In fact, our electric service environment is already a tribal communist form exceeding anything known to any tribal society of the past. All members of our society have free access to communal services of electric information that far exceed the dreams of private wealth to invent or provide for itself. Our accelerated effort to teach the Orient our Western skills and procedures will succeed even in, Our accelerated effort to teach the Orient our Western skills and procedures will succeed even as we ourselves abandon our own Western culture via the electric route. No sidebar. Then you go to page 7. The NASA scientist who imagines that he's pushing onward into the 20th century is actively engaged in a retrograde Newtonian exploration of outer space. The 20th century is not the era of outer but of inner space. Ours is the era of the inner trip and DNA. The outer trip is for tourists only and for the cultivators of the old hardware. No physical or geographic frontiers remain to be crossed, colon, this has already been accomplished electrically. Then in brackets, even the psychic frontier, frontier in quotes, even the psychic frontier or gap between the conscious and subconscious has been bridged by the young, They are Oriental Electric Tribal. And that section was bracketed. The inability to perceive the emperor's new clothes in quotes, the inability to perceive the emperor's new clothes, technological environments created by major policy decisions needs no more illustration than Sputnik. Read that again. The inability to perceive the emperor's new clothes, technological environments created by major policy decisions needs no more illustration than Sputnik. From the first moment of the satellite, the Earth ceased to be the human environment, environment in quotes. Satellites automatically enclose the old Darwinian nature, nature in quotes, environment, by putting the planet inside a man-made environment. They are just as much an extension of the planet as is clothing an extension of the skin. I'll read that last bit. Satellites automatically enclose the old Darwinian nature environment by putting the planet inside a man-made environment. They are just as much an extension of the planet as is clothing an extension of the skin. Then it says to go to side probe number 4, which is page 14. Side probe number 4, on the interrelationship between clothing and perception. That's in capital letters. It was found that primitives could not acquire full literacy until they had costumed themselves in European or Western clothing. Colon. These clothes literally stored, in quotes, stored, the psychic energies necessary for the huge expenditures that such visual specialism demands. With the planet clothed, as it were, by the satellite, what sort of inclusive global corporate non-specialist activity is feasible for the first time? That's a question. Okay, page 8. Satellites are equivalent to enclosing the Earth in a Bucky Fuller dome, dome in quotes, of acoustic space. The consequent process of archetypalization of nature, remember that thing I told you about? New technology is the last word, then it becomes a cliche, then it becomes an art form, then it becomes an archetype. So nature is archetypalized by the 60s. That's literate creation of nature. The consequent process of archetypalization of nature ensures that the Earth is now an old booster stage in quotes, a quaint form of camp, a sort of archaeological museum affording immediate access to all past cultures simultaneously on a classified information basis. That's things in different subject matters. So you go to Turkey, you go to Spain, you go to Taiwan. These are visually classified nations, but obsolete in the actual electronic membrane that's permeating the planet. Then in capital letters, the satellite decides for us that our future relation to the planet is one of program, in quotes, program. That means programming. The satellite is also the shift from the planet as a homogeneous continuum or visual space to the planet as a chemical bond or mosaic of resonating components. So that's why he's talking about Linus Pauling and the chemical bond earlier in the newsletter. Now we come to page 9. Thus, the Earth has become a national or tribal park, national in quotes. Thus, the Earth has become a national or tribal park. It is already a teaching machine, a universal playground for advertisers and teenagers. Look at that. Thus, the Earth has become a national or tribal park, is already a teaching machine, a universal playground for advertisers and teenagers. I remember in the 60s they started doing student exchange programs, you know, quite excessively. Students used to get to go all over Europe if they're Americans and Europeans came to the States. They're picking up on the new tribal park. The Earth has become a national tribal park, a universal playground. In his book, Runaway World, E.R. Leach notes that a major change had occurred in family and society as a result of 19th century transportation. So he's discussing about the media of the 19th century. With the coming of the railway and the steamboat, uncles, cousins, aunts, and grandparents were free to roam the earth and settle in different places. The result was that, for the first time in human history, the small family core of parents and children was isolated from the large family, clan, or tribe. Children and parents began to form ever tighter relations and got into a condition of traumatic intensity and involvement sufficiently marked by the advent of Dr. Freud. The same isolation of the family caused by modern travel by steam and rail. I'm going to do that again. The same isolation of the family caused by modern travel by steam and rail brought about the dense congregations of metropolitan scope, which destroyed family and social life altogether by the elimination of neighborhoods. You see that in the first episode of The Godfather, the first part one movie, when they all end up in the slums of New York City. So reading that again, the same isolation of the family caused by modern travel by steam and rail brought about the dense congregations of metropolitan scope, which destroyed family and social life altogether by the elimination of neighborhoods. Then it says, access to cheap and rapid mobility makes the steady neighborhood relationship patterns impossible. Then you go to side probe number 5 on page 15. Page 15. This is the last side probe and the last page of the newsletter, page 15. In capital letters, side probe 5, on the obsolescence of the city, city in quotes. The same process of speed up pushed further in recent years has resulted in a total reversal of the patterns of confusion generated by the first travel revolution of rail and steamboat. The car decentralized the city, creating the suburb, sub-urb. The plane made every city the suburb of every other city. And the jet bypasses urb and suburb alike, leaving them to decay and befuddle, quote, developers, unquote. Leaving them to decay and befuddle developers. Meantime, children standing in their playpens watching TV ads begin to experience all aspects of the entire globe at once as an intimate portion of the new human environment. The TV generation feels truly at home in any and all parts of the globe, except under its own archaically structured roof-tree. Do that again. The TV generation feels truly at home in any and all parts of the globe, except under its own archaically structured roof-tree family home. Terms like that. So then you come to page 10, which is the last page of the straightforward, page 1 to 10, and page 11 to 15 are the sidebars. So of the straightforward linear progress, this is the last page. In capital letters, every process pushed to its limits reverses all of its initial characteristics. So there he's including what's going to be part of the tetrad, the flip into its opposite. Every process pushed to its limits reverses all of its initial characteristics. The miniskirt is non-erotic. The high-rise apartment, lacking in all human in quotes, lacking in all human qualities whatever, takes on the monolithic dignity of a prehistoric pyramid. The paradox of the apartment as a non-human pyramid was matched earlier by the grain elevators of the western prairies. These primitive monolithic sculptures rose at the behest of advancing railway lines. The railway is antithetic to this, a perfect example of visual, lineal, civilized space. It created the Wild West in quotes, and the non-visual world of oral values where the ballad reigns supreme once more. Quoting a ballad, bear me not on the lone prairie, thus the civilized, no, sorry, one line. He's quoting from a parent ballad, bury me not on the lone prairie. Then McLuhan writes, thus the civilized continuum, when pushed to extreme by rows of cast steel, returned us, as Joyce punned, to the barbaric values of the foes of Castile. That's C-A-S-T-I-L-L-E, the rows of Castile, as a pun on rows, R-O-W-S, of cast, C-A-S-T, steel, S-T-E-E-L, that's the tramways, the cars travel along in the cities. So then there's a statement by McLuhan, the punmen and the penmen meet in pure oppugnancy. Now, that may be a quote from Finnegan's Wake. I'm not sure. Let's look up oppugnancy. Oppugnancy. It means the act of oppugning or opposition or resistance. So the penmen and the punmen meet in pure oppugnancy or resistance. Okay, we will now demute. Only one person is left. We went from 17 to 14, now we're at 13. What are you laughing at, Carol?
I misheard you and thought only one person was still there. Only Bert was left over.
Yeah. That's what I thought also, Carolyn.
Okay, so now, why don't I go? We still got an hour, and according to Roxy's limitations. Is there anything? Shall we go into the notes? Shall I reread a good chunk of it just to remind you? So this is rather short. I would point out, do you notice that many of these ideas we've heard in the newsletter number one or two, you see him repeating? I mean,
yes.
The average person say, what a ripoff this newsletter is.
Yeah, but if the person paid attention, they would see that the repetition adds a few more highlights to overlay.
Exactly. It adds a few little extra details. Roxy, do you have something to say?
Well,
could you follow it? Was it understandable?
Yes, the world, you said these corporations become these conglomerates.
Yes.
They have no more goals. Their goals are themselves.
Right,
they don't care about the environment or the people or anything. It's just their own.
In a way, it's the Android meme. It's the beginning of the Android meme where the machines work for the machines.
Yeah.
There's such huge, complex environments that no human personally, no matter how great a philosopher king or how many bed hours they've spent with me, they cannot stop it.
Yes, and you even finished with the Council of Ten.
Yeah.
Yes, I said, get over it, guys. Dad was right. He told us 30 years ago. Now we have to deal with it. And Prince Charles, you're on your own. And within 2 years, his palace is burning down. And did you notice that Ion said, oh, no, maybe it was to us. Did you guys hear a statement about Balmoral today?
No, I didn't.
He said something maybe in public about the Balmoral. Yeah, it's hard to say. He said something about the Balmoral. You'll note that, Bert, when you hear the first part. But the Mexico is going through what happened in the United States and Canada in the 60s. These big corporate conglomerates, they start to leave with NAFTA. What's it called? NAPSA? I forget.
NAFTA.
What the hell?
NAFTA.
NAFTA. Yeah. The big conglomerates of the 60s and 70s start to become obsolete in the 80s and 90s. They're too big. They're too bulky. Look what happened to IBM. IBM is king in the 60s, and it's beat by Jobs and Microsoft in the 80s. So these big conglomerates go to Mexico and replay the Godfather movies of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, plus CIA involvement in the Mexican police, the Mexican intelligence services, and everybody else that's having fun there that wants to live in the past. Whereas the United States, the big conglomerates are all gone, wrecked, ruined, decentralized, disappeared. You see? So McLuhan's describing what is happening in the 60s, 70s, 80s. You have to read McLuhan deeply to see that he was predicting what was coming later. In the 90s and 2000s, he had a long-range optimistic view of the collapse of the Big Brother world of the big corporations. But that would begin in North America. It hasn't happened in the rest of the world, the third world. They're just getting to the 60s and 70s. And a lot of the corporate leftover in the United States is propped up by immigrants coming from the third world looking for the 1960s and 70s. In their politicians, in their communities, and in their drug dealing, and their business, and their efforts to become a doctor, a teacher, a lawyer, all the wonderful middle class institutions that we personally know ain't effective anymore. If you talk to an avant-garde WASP/French person like Dr. Dean, who's been leading, you know, along with everybody else of that people born in the affluent West, they all have experienced this problem in the 60s and 70s. Where are they now? Beached, caring for their dying parents, ignoring Bob, dying, and the lucky ones, they join us and the Dobbstown newsletter, which is a 20-hour TV show. This is mere print. McLuhan had mere print to work with. He had to use words when he was talking to you. He had to use print. I get to use all the media plus to talk to you, all the while representing the golden era of silence, because there ain't no me in everything that I present. Brian failed to realize. All right, so next point, Roxy.
Yeah, the world becoming a park.
Yes, that was
a park.
It's like
travel
that
park.
Nice? Yeah.
Yeah, when I read these.
Get happy or
back
it out.
Well, it's McCune satirizing because the park is not going to be pastoral for too long. You know, like Roxy can't go back to Mexico to enjoy the National Park of Mexico as a tourist because it's too dangerous. The coming violence was what McLuhan feared was going to be the larger effect of this. That's why he writes this article for Playboy around the time, December 68, saying, mind your media men or you'll catch a cold environment. The world definitely caught a cold environment by the Reagan era. Correct, Bert? Correct?
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. The cold war.
Hello?
Hey,
it clipped out.
But, well, I suppose I could go back to Mexico, but...
Yeah.
Yes, it's not in your world, but, I mean, all the violence... doesn't have to be in your world, but
yeah. So that occurred this week. That
no, it has been occurring.
Really?
There had been these 43 students that disappeared, but actually, there are mass graves everywhere, and there's a lot of people disappearing. I think it's more than 22,000. And most of them are between 5 and 20, 25.
Young people, huh? So they want to smash any type of new thought or revolution, it seems.
Well,
I noticed you.
Yes.
You guys were talking when I was gone? Okay,
of
back
course.
To review the issues discussed. Of course, yes. You guys are becoming autonomous with the button knowledge. You're starting to feel your oats, feel powerful, so you start your own TV show. Yeah, what were you saying?
Talking about Mexico.
He just asked about the students that were killed, but I said...
Right.
There like 25,000 in 2 years missing, and there are mass graves everywhere.
Hmm.
Yeah, 25,000 missing, did you say, over 8 years? Is that what you just said?
No, 2 years. The
2 years.
Time this new,
2 years.
This
right.
new president.
Okay. This is what remember McLuhan predicted in the late 60s, that the blacks in the United States would be eliminated, would be genocided. So it didn't actually happen to the chemical body, literally, it happened by the imprisonment in many ways of the black population. And, you know, Bert has a nice life because he got the hell out of the country. Right, Bert?
Yes. Looks
yeah.
that way, yes. Looks that way.
Right. Yeah, and so what were you just saying there? The so he this violence around the world is what McLuhan in his comprehensive days, when he included both the services and disservices, would predict. You see, this idea McLuhan predicted the global village and the wonderful world of global communications, that is so puny compared to what he was actually making dynamic. What is it?
What do you want
dynamic
to say?
Dynamic. Yeah, I know what I was going to say. Dynamic symmetry of tensions among proportions. You take the global village or the global theater concept, and then he gives you all these particulars. It's the particulars and the details that one has to use their mind for in playfulness, in the joy of pattern recognition. Not this monism that, what's her name, Allison represented. Okay, monism, monadism, like just saying it's all good or it's all frequency or it's all this and that. That's reaching too high and forgetting to make the parallel journey down at the same time. Vertical symbolism and horizontal symbolism. So I was thinking, what I want to say this about, you guys like the idea of the national park. I found that when I would read this, when I eventually got to read this, late 60s, early 70s, the Dewline newsletter, I was reading War and Peace and the Gold Village at the same time. I noticed a repeat of the ideas, but there'd always be a neat little sentence that he didn't have in the books, like that the world was becoming a campus, a tribal playground for teenagers and advertisers. That's an interesting statement. Different. It's and you'll discover those are what you look for when you read the other things by McLuhan. If you just read his books, you'll get some general statements. And actually, it might be so general you don't get the details you're looking for. It's when you read the Dewline and these other things or listen to the recordings, you get the extra words that fill in little parts of your mind that are required that you're not getting in his books.
Yes.
Okay? It's almost like this secondary. He makes these sweeping manifesto in his books, and then the articles give you the details to prop up his argument he makes in the books. He doesn't give the details in the books. He gives them in the articles. That's why I collected all the articles and anything I could get, because the little in-between parts that showed the logic that led to the massive statements in the books. And if you do that enough, you end up doing what I'm doing. I can be McLuhan to the max and explain it because I know the step-by-step because I did the homework by finding the details.
Yes, and you go beyond this repeating of slogans. You can
know
what
beyond
he
the monad
meant.
And apply it to different cases. You can bring up particular cases now that he never wrote about that I can apply it to. So I'm not doing the monad. I'm applying the tetrad. Mysticism is often monist, they call it, M-O-N-I-S-T, or referencing the monad. And you can interpret Ion as celebrating your monad. I am a sovereign God, and all is programmed by me and consumed by me. That can be, if you have a visual bias, a point of view, actually. You become the cyclopean, one-eyed person, and you're still within the visual, but you're a monomaniac, and you think you're a God visually. And you can't jam with Beefheart or Sun Ra or John Coltrane or Ornette Coleman, as I have been known to do. You like these put-on intonations, don't you? These chordal intonations I adopt. Acoustic chord, that is. So I'm tempted to read through. Well, we can still discuss some more. But you guys are appreciating the little details you're hearing in this.
Yes. I appreciated the sidebar number 5 about the obsolescence of the city.
Yeah,
isn't that
neat?
Before. Yes, yes.
You know what the new city becomes, Bert? Okay, the city becomes obsolescent, and then you have the suburbs. The car makes the suburbs. They're king for a little while. Then the jet obsolesces the suburbs. Then the satellite makes every city around the world a suburb of every other city, and all of them tending to be, on one level, collapsed and ghettoized. And then you have the roving virtual class. The elites who have the money to fly privately everywhere, the one percenters, they're the new city. But McLuhan said for in general terms, I was just discussing the, quote, class war there. In general terms, the new city is the university, the mega university. All the kids, they don't go to New York City. They go to Harvard. They go to University of California. That's where the action is. That's where you can get drunk and fucked and stoned for 5 years. Right? Like any healthy city offers.
Yeah, this is the payday university.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
What'd she say? What kind of university?
The payday
Alma mater payday.
Yes, this is the ultimate university. There's so many free drugs, free condoms, free sex, free food, free insight and stuffing of the mind that goes on in the weekly orgy that Hugh Hefner is feeling rather obsolete. So are the porn networks feeling obsolete. The stuffing of 5 bodies with ecstatic ejaculation of all forms is makes this the ultimate city.
Yeah, with the sharing of the discarnate organ.
There you go. It's carnage.
Yeah. Roxy's the ultimate cheerleader. She's an intellectual cheerleader. She knows the words, the slogans. She immediately pumps them up as soon as Bob says something.
Yes, I'm in charge of propaganda.
Yeah.
Edutainment.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So part of our edutainment is the porn.
Edutainment. Bobutainment. Bob you. Bobutainment, not Ed. Screw Ed. That was it. Bob Marshall's real name. Screw Bob Marshall's. Bob Dawes. Bobutainment. Attainment.